Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, abide with you, and fill you to overflowing in the light and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you. Compared to when you were a child, would you say that America is a safer place or a more dangerous place to live? A better place to raise children or a more difficult place? Well, I guess that probably has a lot to do with what your childhood was like, huh? And yet danger is all around us. It's a reality of everybody's life all throughout time. But there certainly are ages and days of more danger than others. Paul tells the Corinthians of how he moves from danger to danger every single day. Listen to what he says about his life. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open seas. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Wow. Just in case we mistakenly thought that Paul had the easy life, we wouldn't wish this on any of us, would we? He truly met danger at every turn. And so therefore, when he comes to the Ephesian Christians and tells them how to protect themselves, Paul knows what he's talking about. Not to mention, these are in the inspired word of God, and God is telling the Ephesians and us how to truly protect ourselves. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Wow. You mean we're not just in this alone? But what does that mean? That sounds really majestic. The power of the Lord be with you. Put on his armor. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, what's he telling us to do is to arm yourself with none other than God himself. Wow. Arm yourself with God himself? How do we do that? We can even back up a little bit. Why would we do that? If we don't see the need, chances are we're not going to take any action. You see, Satan is a master at deception and distraction, getting your eyes to focus in on the small things of life and not being able to see the elephant in the room. He's like a slow-moving cancer that goes on undetected for decades and decades until he can slowly poison a person's faith. And so he comes to us, he creeps in, he distracts our attention away from God and anything beneficial, and he slowly kills us. A Roman soldier doesn't put on all his armament unless there's a battle to fight. Police don't put on riot gear unless there's a riot. Firemen don't jump into their fire suits unless they're responding to a fire. So also, Christians don't put on the armor of God if they feel perfectly contented and at ease. All is going well. And we don't see the danger that's right in front of us. You see, Satan tries to get us to believe that our biggest concern in this world is just how to pay the mortgage. Now there's a really big concern. or whether we'll get that promotion at the job. Now that's what occupies our time and our minds. Or is my retirement account fat enough? Will it sustain me? Now that causes sleepless nights. Or the great goal in life, that my children are healthy and happy and have all they want. You see how that, as important as those things are, they distract our attention for what's truly most important? And if that's where our attention lies, in just the things of this world, then we sit back and say, well, what do I need armor for? I don't get it, Pastor. Well, Paul comes and he rips those blinders off of our eyes. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Do we see? Do we comprehend what's really coming at us? The demons from hell are coming to destroy us. That's the battle. Are we equipped for it? Are we ready for it? You know, a fantastically wonderful life here on earth will not give us any comfort at all if we spend eternity in hell. And so we're talking about very important things here. And the writer to the Hebrews ratchets up just how important this battle truly is. It is impossible, he writes, for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. We're truly talking about eternity anytime we talk about the Word of God and hold it in our heart or let it fall to the ground. You know, from the vantage point of eternity, for someone looking back into this world is nothing but a pile of dust. How truly sad it would be if we squander and lose the grace that is there for us, all for a pile of dust. Hell is very real, and hell is very tragic. And it's forever. And so we have a battle, and Paul pleads with the Ephesians and with us, protect yourself. How? How do we do it? Now that we truly know we need to do it, how? Well, God is our shield. Put him on. Clothe yourself with the armor he gives us. Paul compares the armor of God to a Roman soldier's armor. Interesting picture, because they saw Roman soldiers walking around all the time, and what a formidable force that was. Why, they had big belts to wrap around them, to hold it all together and everything in its place that covered their lower stomach and their upper thighs, and that they had a breastplate to cover their chest and their stomach, all those vital organs, their heart, their liver, their kidney, to protect them from attack. They had not just regular sandals, but combat sandals that laced up and laced up and laced up like combat boots, so that no matter what terrain they were going to be fighting on, they would have a firm footing. They would not be knocked over and slip. They were given a shield to hold between them and the enemy's blows, their arrows, so that they could be safe and protected. A marvelous helmet to encase their head so that they could take the wax and still remain focused and thinking and alert and ready to go. And all those pieces of armament were oh so important for the Roman soldier. He would never dream of going into battle without the armament. That would be crazy. That would be suicidal to say, well, I didn't think this was going to be such a big skirmish, so I left half my armor at home. Really? Do you want to die? So we put on the armor of God. And notice in each one of these armaments, they're all connected to the Word of God, because the Word of God connects us to God. God never separates himself from his Word. Where his Word and promise goes, there goes God in all of his power. And that's what's so important for us to hold on to. This armament comes through the very Word of God. What does he say? Wrap God's truth around you like a belt. That's why it calls for us to study and study and keep on studying, that more and more of God's truth wraps around and holds us together and keeps everything in its place. In this world where everybody is filled with so many lies and there's so much deceit and confusion, to have God's truth cut through it all and put everything in its place as it should be, so that we are not confused with the lies of this world. You know, there's no more deadly of lie than the lies we tell ourselves. For with those lies, we drop God's belt to the floor and we become a sitting duck, ready for Satan's attack. Satan would so love to take his spear and slice into our heart or our kidney, to come and attack us and our inner parts with his sword of guilt. Oh, how he loves to throw our past sins in our face and make us wince in pain as we think of how diabolically wicked we've been. But then again, through God's word, he places a breastplate of righteousness in place. Oh, yes, though we were steeped in sins, we are now the children of God. Satan, you cannot puncture me with this guilt, because Christ has taken all that guilt and paid for it on his bloody cross. He's the one who's made peace between us and God. And so now we who are so guilty stand forgiven, redeemed. His righteousness he gives to us, that now we stand before God, not only the children of God, but the righteous, holy children, without any stain or wrinkle of sin to our account, washed clean and perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan, you cannot overrun us with guilt anymore. Our heart and our inner being is protected by Christ's righteousness. The angel of Bethlehem came to those shepherds out in the field with such marvelous news, good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Isn't that so simple and straightforward? Oh, in this world that wonders, what are we to make of this Jesus fella? Is he a heretic? Is he just a wise person? Is he a prophet? What do you make of this? The shepherds got it. The shepherds knew it. Ah, isn't that interesting how that good news, that proclamation of who Jesus is and what he's done, just puts everything in order. That good news gave them, these shepherds, the feet and the wherewithal to go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And so God keeps on bathing us with his gospel message, that gospel of peace. The Lord's face shines upon us and gives us peace. God will once again put that blessing on our hearts and lives. And that peace was purchased with Jesus' blood, and it is a powerful peace, an eternal peace. When everyone else is in upheaval and filled with rancor and discord, God comes to us and declares peace in his gospel, that Christ has won that peace for us. And that makes a peace within ourselves, between you and yourself, which spills out into a peace for everyone else. Even to have this gospel peace with our enemies and to live at peace with all people. Then we have feet that truly have the combat boots of God, that can walk on any terrain Are these wonderful days or are these difficult days? Are the demons from hell throwing everything at us or are they at bay? Whatever our life entails, this gospel gives us a sure footing on the foundation of salvation. And it comes through His Word. We have a powerful shield against everything that Satan would want to throw at us. Do you use that shield? That thing that stands between us and what the demons would like to do to us. And our shield is none other than Jesus Himself. He's the one who stands at our shield. And He says, trust me, have faith in your shield. Jesus is our shield and our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. And He's the one that keeps us safe and protected. Oh, the demons want to throw all kinds of spears at us, flaming spears and arrows. And they usually come in the form of temptations. Oh, burning passions, crushing losses and defeats and loss of loved ones and that. Or even on fire with sickening anger that just brews and stews. He has many arrows in his quiver, these demons of ours. They come and set us ablaze with self-pity. Oh, poor me. Or self-centeredness. It's all about me and nobody else. Or self-deception. I'll decide what the truth is. And tries to set our world on fire with their lies and their deceptions and their tricks. But Jesus keeps us safe. He's the one who stands in the midst. And as we trust Him and trust His Word and trust His forgiveness and let all of our thoughts and hope come from Him, that He soothes our aching heart and lifts our spirit and clears our head, He is our shield. And these demons will not have their way with us. He extinguishes all those flames and all that danger, so that we live in safety and peace. The world seems like it's losing its mind. The thoughts and ideas and attitudes become crazier and crazier with each new generation. But God's people don't need to be losing their minds. No, that helmet of salvation, we are the Lord's. He has purchased us at a price. It's not that we might be saved. We are saved. We are the children of God. It's an accomplished fact. And that clears our thinking, focuses our mind. And like a good soldier, we don't need to get embroiled in civilian affairs, but rather keep our mind on our King, our Savior, and what He wants us to do, and let the rest of the world go by. As we focus in on Him, and He balances our thoughts and keeps us centered in His grace. That's salvation working in our mind and heart. And then He gives us that one offensive weapon, huh? Oh, the sword, the mighty sword of God, which is His Word, the sword of the Spirit. What does one do with a sword? Well, you know, you cut a person's head off with it. It's not just to draw pretty pictures in the sand. Are we ready to cut heads off? Oh, don't worry, the demons will grow many more. But to actually step up and do battle, kill or be killed. And so He declares, use that word that connects you to God. Use it powerfully, daily, mightily. Oh, how do we do that? I have another test for you. When you go home, and you sit and you start to feel the next temptation rise within you, that temptation for wickedness and evil that would like to possess you and own you and control you, just as you're aware that it's rising up within you at that very moment, recite a Bible verse. Or quote the commandment that specifically talks about that sin. Or sing a hymn. And see just how powerful that sword is. Oh, that temptation that seems so overwhelming will whimper away in the corner, and the demon that brings it to you, that powerful word of God, and the whole face of the earth, some of the most powerful words are, "Thus saith the Lord." That kind of ends the debate, doesn't it? And God will step into that situation with His truth and His power and the power of His word and push the darkness back. Use that sword, first and foremost, on your own sinful nature that wants to drag you away into all kinds of wickedness and vice. To use that sword, Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is power of God for the salvation of all who believe." Do we believe the gospel is the power of God? Unleash that supernatural power in your hearts and lives. And then Paul added one other thing that doesn't kind of fit in with the armament all that much. He says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Pray. Prayer in and of itself has no power just by us doing it. It's who we're praying to that has the power. The Lord God of heaven and earth, who so hears and acts. There rests the power, and what an awesome power that is. Pray. Elsewhere in Scripture it says prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. If you've gotten anything from this sermon, if you've been blessed in any way, have you connected the dots? That probably is because someone has been praying for this sermon. Have you? Paul invited them, "Pray that I might speak the word fearlessly as I ought." Oh, that we would pray for every sermon and every Bible class and every lesson in the Lutheran elementary school and Sunday school. And oh, that we might pray, "Lord, shower your power through your holy word into the hearts and lives of your people and into every evangelism visit, that that word might touch hearts and bring light where there is only darkness." Our God's an awesome God. He does marvelous things, and He does it through His word. These days are dark. They're filled with evil, but our God is greater. These days are very dangerous for the hearts and souls and lives of God's people, and yet God is stronger. He has won us for Himself, and He knows full well how to protect us until that day of judgment and take us home to be with Him. God is our armor. Put Him on day after day, over and over again. Arm yourself with God Himself, and you will be safe. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, our times are in your hands. May we have such delight in your word that we too turn to it day in and day out, that it might be a light unto our path. Bless us and fill us to overflowing with a holy thirst for your word, not only in our brain but in our life. May we walk in that light and find your protection there. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.